Question for you by a show of hands. Who has ate at Subway? Is there anyone that doesn't have a hand up? Maybe that's the question I should have asked. One person hasn't ate at Subway, a couple here and there. The beauty I like about Subway is you can go in, you can order what you want, and it's quick. And you can get everything you want on it that they offer, and it goes through. But the question is if you took someone who didn't get trained in Subway's way and you dropped them in, what would that look like? Would they know all the ins and outs of how to build that sub perfectly? Would they be able to make things happen quickly? Would it look as nice at the end? Would you take a bite and would it come all squirting out the back end of it or not, depending on what happened, right? The other thing is would they know if they'd never been trained and had never been worked there before that after a certain amount of time, they have to clear that bin out? Did you guys know that? They can only let it sit there for so long before they got to pull it and dump it. They got to keep a timer kind of running and kind of knowing. Now, luckily, most places are pretty busy and they don't have a lot of waste that way, but they have to have that. Would a person know that? See, the restaurant or the business has taken a lot of effort to put a plan together, a plan on how things should work. And if they work well that way, good things happen, and we get a sub that we really like, which makes us go back. Like, who here has only eaten at Subway once? Nobody, right? Because it's pretty good, and we go back, right? Because the plan that they've put in place works. And we can see the goodness in it, and we can get a sub that we really like. Well, I want you to think about that for a little while, and we're going to come back to that in a second. But what we're going to talk a little bit about is this Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. If you want to stand with me, I'm going to read it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So I'll put that up so you guys can look at it if you don't have your scripture with you today. We're going to take a couple seconds just to break this down. Please have a seat. And then we're going to kind of go forward. First of all, this is Paul. He's speaking to the Romans up until this point. He's talking about how he was kind of given the purpose to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, to reach out past the Jews, and to move into a place where all of God's people, all of God's creation could start hearing his word. And he's kind of given his evidence of why he's coming to him, and he's saying in 15, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. So he's kind of giving the warning that, like, this is who I am, and this is where I'm going. And he comes into this section, and after he talks about it, it starts in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So he goes from explaining why or who he is and what he wants to do to Rome into who and what he's going to be preaching, which is, you know, about the wrath of God and what God's seen in the world. But in this little section in between 16 and 17, he takes a second to break it down, and he gives a little bit of an insight of who he is. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's a powerful statement, because I wonder how often we have fallen to a place where we're ashamed to share the gospel. I wonder how often we've missed the opportunity to share the gospel, the power of God to salvation, which we'll talk about here in a second, because we're ashamed that someone might think we're stupid, or someone might think that we're silly, or a fanatic, a fanatical, whatever. How often do we feel ashamed of it? And here he's saying, I'm not ashamed to come and tell you about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not all the other stuff. I don't care about all the other things, but to tell you the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of Christ from the cross into salvation. It says in the second half of 16, for it is the power of God to salvation. It's an important statement there, that little two letters right there, T-O, to salvation for everyone who believes. Not for salvation, but to salvation. In other words, if you don't hear the gospel, if you don't understand the gospel, if you've never been touched by the gospel, you cannot, by God's decree, move to a point of being saved. Because salvation is through Jesus Christ. And so the gospel must be given. And it must be given of Jesus Christ. Not all the other stuff that's out there, but of Jesus Christ. Not all the truths and everything other than the truth of Jesus Christ. That is the power that he's talking about. This is the gospel he's speaking of. And he says, for everyone who believes, first for the Jew and also for the Greek. So in other words, what we have here is this God's power in the gospel to salvation for all believers, for all people who come in to understand that truth of the gospel. Not for those you like, not for those who you feel deserve it, not for those who are more holy than the next person or feel more righteous than the person sitting next to them, not for any of that stuff, but for all people who believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He continues on, he says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So in other words, when we hear the gospel, we see God's righteousness because of his faithfulness on the cross and our faithfulness in the message that was delivered through that cross. See, so in other words, because God is faithful, we can be faithful. Because God is true to his word and to who he says he is, we can be faithful to him. He gives the evidence from the Old Testament, the just shall live by faith. So in other words, those who have faith, who trust that Jesus is who Jesus is, will be considered righteous, will be just, because they'll do things the way that God has decreed. See, in this little moment right here where Paul's taking a second to kind of give his heart to the situation, he says, first of all, I'm coming to you to speak the gospel, which I'm not ashamed of, because it is the only thing and the only thing that I can bring to you that will bring salvation. It's not me bringing salvation. It's the word that's the gospel. He's always very clear about that. He's not saying you're going to be saved in the name of Paul. That's why he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because this is what brings salvation. And so in this moment, he's saying, it's not me, but it's God. And it's not me that matters, but the message that I bring. Now, I can imagine when we talk about not being ashamed that there's a lot of different reasons that we can sit there and say, hey, I just don't know. You know, Pastor, it's hard to give the gospel. It's hard to sit there and share what I believe. And I get that. I used to be there. It used to be a very difficult spot for me. But the thing I want to encourage you is today we're going to go through a tool to help you do that. Because we've been talking about sharing the gospel, and I've been hearing a lot of people going, but I don't know how, or I'm scared. We're going to talk about it a little bit. But the question is how do we get started? Who can give me some brokenness that's in this world that surrounds us? Give me some examples of the brokenness that surrounds us in this world. War, okay? Divorce. Addiction. I'm just going to put violence in general. All right, that's probably good enough. We can probably start there. Everybody's kind of witnessed or experienced this someplace in their life, right? What if I told you that brokenness that's right there didn't have to be? What if I told you there was a way out of that? What if I told you that that was never the plan for what humanity was, but the reason that we see it is because we know that that's not how it's supposed to be? What if I told you that because of these things right now, we in our hearts grieve and have pain? What if I told you that because of those things, we know that what is now and here is not right? But the reason we know that is because there was a plan. There was a plan that we wouldn't have to suffer under any of this. That plan was God's plan. And seeing in God's plan, we had perfection. In fact, he called it all good. And if you have a few moments, I can spend some time sharing that with you. But because of humanity, because of our brokenness, because of our unwillingness to follow his plan, sin enters the world and we step away from him and we end up in this circle of brokenness where we feel the effects of each and every one of those. But guess what? You don't have to live by that. Guess what? You don't have to be under the effect of that in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. But you have to take some action first. See, because there's an answer to all of that, and that answer is Jesus Christ. See, and in that answer, there's a personal statement that you need to make. You need to understand that because of your brokenness, because of your willfulness to follow this, and to not push back on it or sit there and say that's normal and it's what everybody has, we continue to be in it. But when we take a second and we say, yes, I am responsible for some of that. I'm responsible for some of those pains, some of those sufferings, some of those broken things that we just talked about and just wrote down. And we ask to be seen and to be moved past all of it, and that we believe that there is a better way in God's plan. Then we can start to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we start understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we start understanding the true nature of the heart-changing effect it can have on us, then we can start moving, start pursuing something better. And we can start recovering from all the brokenness that we have in our lives. And eventually we can return back to seeing and experiencing and being part of what God's plan is. Now, how many here would love to have that? How many people would love to not be underneath the effects of this anymore? Be back underneath God's perfect plan. I see a lot of heads shaking. If you would just pray with me. Relax for a second. That is our tool. It's called the three circles. It took me, what, about 2 minutes, 3 minutes to walk through? Did it move you? Did it make you question something maybe that you've experienced? How about if you were never a believer, would you have focused on some of these things? Most definitely, because we are experiencing those each and every day. How many people here know someone who's divorced? How many here know someone that has a family that is in a food hardship, and they aren't sure they can feed their family from week to week? These are all things right here in our community. These broken things are in our backyard. And as we talk to people, as we build relationships, and I will tell you, this is not a, hey, I just met you on the street. This is, I've known you for a couple days or a couple hours, and we've had some conversation. This isn't, hey, let me share with you something. We'll learn that one next week. But this is for the person that you've known next door, the person that is your neighbor for the last 10 years that you barely know their first name because of our culture and our society where we don't spend time in our communities anymore. That's exactly what this is for. What we do is we highlight on the brokenness that's out there in the world because everybody sees it. Whether you're a believer of Jesus Christ or not, you see brokenness. And so let's talk about the three circles, shall we? We're going to give you some tips at the end or some advice at the end. And then there's also some books if you don't have a smartphone. If you have a smartphone, I want you to go ahead and pull it out. Don't do anything with it yet, but have it ready, okay? We're going to get there eventually. It's the one time you'll hear Pastor Scott sit there and say, please pull out your smartphones in church. So everybody should be really excited right now. All right, so this is called the three circles technique, and we're going to walk through it real quick because it's coming back to what Paul was talking about in Romans 1, is that we shouldn't be ashamed of sharing the gospel with anybody because the gospel has power to save. And if we are so happy, so full of hope in the salvation that we have, then guess what? We should want to share that with each and every person we come into that doesn't have that hope in their life. And so you start out with a blank sheet of paper. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Could be a napkin. Could be a note card you carry in your pocket just for these events. And you add a circle. God's design. This is after you've pulled out the brokenness. Ask them, what do you see in the world that you feel is broken? What are the hardships you're encountering? And make it personal. Ask them, like, what are you struggling with? Because that's going to impact them here. And then we start building this back. Well, you know, there was something different. And if you got a second, I can share with you Genesis, where God built in a certain way. He created in a certain way so that things would be good, that things would be complete, that everybody would have what they needed, and that there wouldn't be all this brokenness. But guess what? That wasn't good enough for humanity. We wanted something more. We wanted what God had instead of what God had given us to be good. And so we left God's plan, and we started pursuing our own plan. And sin entered the world. And because we no longer were following God's plan, this perfect plan that was out there, this perfect, safe place for us to be and interact with, we now find ourselves in brokenness. And it doesn't take long for us to see it. We can see it everywhere we go, every day of our lives, every moment that we stop, and we don't kid ourselves, but we look at a situation. There's one thing I learned as a police officer very early in my career was it didn't matter. I didn't have to look for the brokenness. The only thing I needed to look for were people that were doing life together, and I would easily find it. Why? Because we don't follow God's plan. We follow this plan of sin. Because there's brokenness in the world, we need the gospel. We need to be taught how to leave the brokenness and move towards God's plan. And that's exactly what the gospel is. Jesus Christ came so that we could see what it meant to be obedient to God's plan, to walk in the will of the Father, and to pursue that perfect plan and make that a priority in our lives. But because we don't do that, we stay in brokenness and we can never get out of it. And because of that, we know we need something different. We see that, we feel it, but we aren't sure where it goes. But what the answer is the gospel. But you need to do something first. You need to sit there and admit to yourself that you're part of the brokenness. In other words, you need to repent from that. And just be honest with yourself and sit there and say, listen, it's broken. My life's broken. Everything's broken. Or, you know, everything I see is broken. I don't like it. And then you need to believe that God's plan is the better plan than what the rest of it is. If and when you do that, then we can move on. Why? Because then once we've accepted the plan, once we've admitted to ourselves that we're part of the problem, that we need to move from where we are here to something better, towards God's plan, and we start pursuing that, we start moving down a road to recovery. How's that sound for our addicts? A path of recovery that has strength in it. Why? Because you're moving to something that's better than worrying about what you were in the past. Right? And that becomes our simple, very simple tool. That's the whole beauty of it. And that's the whole beauty of the gospel. That God created in perfection. That after humanity messed it up and walked for a while, he sent the fix, Jesus Christ, to show us that if you lived a life in that perfect plan, you could walk in joy and happiness. And one step further is that brokenness that we've created has been forgiven through the cross. And because of that brokenness, he'll accept us down and recover us and draw us back to him. And then someday again, God's design, God's plan will be complete and full again. This is the basis of the Nicene Creed. It's the basis of what Christians at general and at a heart and at a core believe are these simple things. But yet we water it down and we fill it with full of human theology all the time, trying to prove that this one's better than this one, when the basic and what is bringing us to salvation is the gospel of Jesus Christ and not any of the other stuff. But yet we pull out that people are broken for their individual thing versus understanding that all of us, all of humanity is broken. And we make it a personal thing versus, hey, you don't have to be like this, you can be like that. Instead, we like to pin people for who they were instead of what God will make them. And it turns ears away and it turns hearts away from God. Why? Because all they see is the Christian who has judgment and hate in there instead of seeing God's love and a path back to him. So now I want to take your cell phones. Pull out your smartphone if you have it. If not, I have some books for you on the back that you can take after. I didn't want to hand them out. I want you to go to your app finder. You are going to leave here today prepared to share this week if you get that opportunity. So go to your app finder on your phone. If you got your smartphone, hold it up for me. All right. Like I said, if you don't have one, I've got some little take-home books for you out back. But the nice thing is most of us will carry this everywhere we go, right? Everyone carries this everywhere they go for the most part, especially if you're under the age of 40, you probably always have it in your pocket. It's always in my pocket. And you're going to go to your little search engine, and you're going to type in that three circles evangelism. And hit search. Did you guys get a note? And then you just start swiping. So maybe you want to grab a book as you walk out, and I'll order some more. This is so simple to run with. I've done it twice now in 10 minutes. You start out with the basic conversation of asking people, what's broken in your life? And they can give you real personal things, and they can really open up. And suddenly now this stuff here, the brokenness is in their sight. And as they're experiencing that, as they're reliving those times of brokenness, or they're thinking about a friend who has brokenness, they're sitting there going, yeah, you're right, it is. And guess what? You've already passed the first hurdle that evangelizing is getting them to accept that what we have isn't all that great. And once they're there, once they're at that point, we can now have that conversation about, well, would you like something better? And did you know there was something that was better? That there was a plan for something better? That God designed in such a way that we wouldn't have had to deal with all this if we would have just stuck with the major plan in the beginning? But because of us, because of who we are, because we always want the next best thing, we find ourselves broken. We find ourselves chasing other things instead of God's plan. Instead of fitting into God's design, we're holding ourselves out much like Subway. Where if we walked in and we thought we knew everything about working at Subway and then suddenly started doing things, we'd realize really quick that what was really good and what people really enjoyed and what people really felt passionate about, because I've met some pretty passionate Subway people. Anybody see Jared? Yeah, exactly. Because of your inability to stick with the plan, because of you thinking you know something better or something that would work better, you screw it all up. Guess what? Welcome to humanity. Here we are, thinking that we know better than God himself, the creator of all things. And we find ourselves in brokenness each and every day. But there is hope. That hope's in Jesus Christ, that we can see what it looks like to live by the plan, to be obedient to God's design, and to follow our lives in the way that God designed them to be. If we can just say that, yeah, we need that in our lives and believe that that's better for us than what we have, then we can start walking the road back to God's plan. We can start understanding, and he's ready to accept us back to it completely. And someday he'll return it to the state it started in. There, that was a third time. Pretty easy, isn't it? So be like Paul. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. But share it, because it is the power to salvation for anyone who's willing to believe in it. You can't make them believe. I get that. They may sit there at the end of the day after you get done explaining all this and drawing up your little pretty diagram on the napkin and sharing it with them going, you know, that's great. I'm glad that works for you. I really don't have time for it. All right. Well, if you ever do, please come see me. Know that I'll be praying for you. Know that God is still there, and he's still working things to his plan. If you want out of the brokenness, come talk to me, and we'll see how we can help you with that. Right? There we go. Now it's working. Okay, it just took a while to download. All right. So it is working now, so it does work. We're good. We're all on that. When it comes down to it, don't be ashamed of what you know brings salvation. If we truly believe as Christians that God's plan is the best plan, that his design was what was meant to be, and that is what we're praying and hoping that returns, then we need to be sharing it with everybody that we can. Why? So that they can be on the same path, the path of repentance, the path of going back to recovery from the brokenness that's in their lives and pursuing God in their life. For it is the righteousness of God, or for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. See, the just will live by faith. Those who walk in a good way will live by faith. Why? Because they're following the plan that God had set in place. They're making sure they're doing what Jesus, they're believing in the gospel. They're admitting where their shortcomings are in it, and they're following the gospel, and they're moving down a road of recovery and pursuing God as Christ pursued God. It's not always easy, and it makes us have to look at ourselves a lot. But in that comes faith, because as we see God fixing our brokenness, as we see God repairing us and recovering us from those broken things that are in our lives, we feel stronger, we start understanding our role in life, we start living by the purpose that he's given us and having power beyond what we normally would have by ourselves. So as not to be ashamed of, but to be boldly proclaimed and shared. So I want to take a second on your bulletins or on a piece of paper if you don't have one. I want you to write down one person that you're going to share this with this week. If you don't have a pen, look in the back of the seat in front of you. There's probably one there. I want you right now to be writing one name that you're going to share the gospel with this week. And then one step further, I want one person's name on there that you are going to share how to teach this. Or you're going to teach this or share this with so that they can go out and reach one person this week. If you're a guest, yes, we have homework on a regular basis. Sorry, I'm just that type of pastor. I want to see it applied. I don't want to see it just knowledge in your head. So right now, you should have one name that you're going to go share the gospel and not be ashamed in the process, because now you have a tool to do it. You no longer have the excuse like, I just don't know how to do it, Pastor. It's there now. But one step further, because we are a church that believes in making disciples, raising up the next generation, making sure that everybody is growing in Christ, you're going to find one person that is a Christian already and teach them how to do this so that they can go and share it with one person. And what, there's about 70 people here today. If we each do that, that means by next week, 140 of us will have them. By the week after that, 280. See how multiplication works? It's a beautiful thing. So as we close today, that is the challenge. Be bold and proclaim the gospel, as Paul says he's not ashamed to do. In fact, he's willing to travel to Rome, a place where it's not exactly a great message to be sharing with the general public. Eventually, he would die because of it. Yet he claims proudly that he is not ashamed of it, for he knows that it is the power to salvation. You want to help change a person's life? You want to save another person? Then give them the one thing that can save them, the gospel. Do it because you believe in Jesus Christ. Do it because he's walking you down the path to back to the place of being God's child. Do it for all the reasons that you have joy and happiness in your heart. Do it for every reason that makes you claim the name of being a Christian. But please, go do it. Amen.